brothers and sisters, I too should like that you be free of anxieties. On first read in this particular reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it might well up some anxieties in us. Because looking at it just on the surface, it could appear as if Paul is speaking out against marriage. But I'd like to shape the context of what Paul was exhorting of the people. In that time, immediately after the death and resurrection of Jesus, everyone in the region was under the assumption that when he promised to come again, he would do so rapidly, that his return was imminent. And so for Paul and many of these new Christian Jews, the belief was that there really wasn't a need for marriage because Jesus would be returning. There would be no need for us to have children. Here we are, 2,000 years later, still waiting for the return of Jesus. 2,000 years where we have continued to suffer with anxiety. But the words that Paul speaks are the same words that we need to hear today. He is not suggesting that we should do away with marriage, but what he is suggesting is now is the time for us to recognize our redemption. Now is the time for us to seek that which is proper and to adhere to the ways of the Lord. In 2,000 years, we have been in and out of that. We continue to struggle with the anxieties of living in a broken world, and it's easy for us to forget our purposefulness. Jesus came in our likeness so that he could show us how easy it is to be like him. How easy it is for us to love. Perhaps my suggesting that it's easy for us to love creates some anxiety in you. But again, I want to shape the context of what love really is. Sometimes we mistake romanticism. Sometimes we mistake the idea that we have to like everyone. Liking someone and loving them are two entirely different things. We have a witness to that in the gospel. Jesus enters into the place of worship to read the word of God and to teach about it. During that place of holiness, someone stands up and disrupts the whole thing. Imagine if that were to happen here. I can imagine how anxious I would become in the midst of my teaching. But Jesus remembers his purposefulness and, in fact, continues to love this person who is disrupting the worship. It is exactly in Jesus recognizing his purposefulness that sets the example for us to really love others. Loving another is very simply wanting what's best for them. It doesn't mean that we have to like that person. It doesn't mean that we have to go out of our way for that person. We simply have to will the good for them. Jesus, in the midst of this worship, commands the unclean spirit to come out of this man. I'd like to suggest to you that that is exactly what we need to do. Not to walk around commanding unclean spirits to come out of people, but to look at the unclean spirits that exist in us. That requires a profound sense of honesty with ourselves. And doing it with ourselves is not enough. We have to be willing to take the risk to invite others that we love, others that we trust, into that process of understanding what are those unclean spirits in me, and how am I to drive them out? That is why it is so essential that we worship in community. I would suggest to you that is exactly why God is the mystery of three persons in one God. Jesus was able to maintain his purposefulness because of the unique and powerful relationship that he has with the Father and the Spirit. We don't have the same advantage that Jesus had in relationship to the Father. And therefore, we need to invite others into our own experience. We need to invite others to challenge us in our honesty. I would also suggest that that process of self-honesty is a very difficult thing for us to do. Because if we're honest with ourselves, in mulling over what it is we need to do at any given moment, the right thing to do will consistently be the more difficult thing to do. That's why Jesus had to die. The unclean spirits that existed in the people of Jesus' time were disrupted by the truth that he lived. So much so, they chose to kill him. We have that same struggle today. We cannot put Jesus on the cross, but we can kill ourselves by choosing to be dishonest, by allowing ourselves to be fooled by the unclean spirits in us, those things that draw us away from being authentic. Those things that draw us away from our purposefulness. So my challenge to all of you this evening is, think about who you surround yourselves with. Think about the people with whom you entrust your life of faith, your life of honesty. I would suggest to you that the people you need most in your life are those people who are going to challenge you to be honest. That is the nature of discernment. It's the nature of living out our role as people made in the image and likeness of God. We gather here in this place of worship. We form a community. And in that community, we make God present. How easy it is for us to allow the unclean spirits to take over as soon as we walk out the door. Let us be resolved this evening to recommit ourselves to personal honesty, to recommit ourselves to dealing with that tension of living in a broken world and being called to love even those whom we find difficult to like.